Edition. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Dungeon Master Chip Hessenflow.
And we're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. And if you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. This week, we're here for an extra scrolling, Chip.
We went up to Lake Geneva, Wisconsin.
And we got a chance to talk to Luke Gygax, the son of Gary Gygax, the inventor of Dungeons & Dragons.
Now, we were sitting in a great big conference room. Mm-hmm. We certainly didn't have our gear with us. So I really like this conversation. I think our listeners will too.
Let's take a listen.
We are here today at GaryCon 9 in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, and we're speaking today with Luke Gygax, the founder of GaryCon. How are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Oh, we are phenomenal. We're so happy to be here. And Michael Ngo, who is the director of operations here at GaryCon, having a fun convention so far.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Fantastic. So let's start with a little intro. Tell us all about the short version of the story of GaryCon and why we're here today.
Sure. Well, GaryCon is a memorial gaming convention held in honor of my father, Gary Gygax, who's a creator of Dungeons & Dragons. In March 4th of 2008, he passed away, and obviously our family gathered back here in our hometown of Lake Geneva, where my father lived since he was 8 years old until his death. We had there was a massive outpouring and people expressing how he had influenced them, their impact, which was very, you know, really, it's something you didn't necessarily realize as one of his children. Sure, he knew Dungeons and Dragons was a big game, but folks were talking about how he had changed their life, how he had impacted, their childhood and taught them a love of reading, imagination, had helped shape them or take them away from potential bad influences or help them get over learning disabilities, how they'd made lifelong friends, how very important it was, not just gaming and fun, but life-changing events. And so I thought, well, okay, that was an eye-opener there. And I thought just having a funeral wouldn't be appropriate, but we needed to kind of celebrate what he liked doing and having a way to, for those people who, you know, just sitting in a formal funeral wouldn't really do it. So I went and I rented the American Legion Hall, which is the site of some, Gen Con 2, I think, was held there as well, smaller gaming conventions. And we had my sisters brought some food and things like that. They used to serve concessions as children at the early conventions as well. And we set up a podium and a microphone so you could tell your favorite story about my father. We played the D&D cartoon and the Futurama cartoon and had tables set up for gaming. And people came and played, Dungeons and Dragons or Pit or, whatever fun game they wanted to play, talked to each other, hung out, ate some food, told some stories about my dad, and generally had a good time remembering him. And someone said to me, hey, Luke, this was really great. You should do this every year. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, okay, yeah, that's a good idea. I'll do it. And I think I believe Jolly Blackburn was there, who's the creator of Knights of the Dinner Table comic book. Mm-hmm. And he said, yeah, you can call it GaryCon. And of course, he said that because in their comic book world, there's a character named Gary Jackson, who's a combination of my father, Gary Gygax, and another game designer named Steve Jackson. And so he's Gary Jackson. And they have what is their big game convention in the comic world, which is like a Gen Con, which also GC. They call it GaryCon.
Huh.
And so he said, yeah, call it GaryCon. And so GaryCon was born.
So here we are, 9 years. Yes. This is the 9th GaryCon. Yes. How has it expanded? What is this thing now, this GaryCon?
Yeah, it's really, it's like it was a little snowball that started rolling and picking up speed and becoming more massive. Like I said, I said, okay, sure, I'll hold it every year. What I did is I rented out the American Legion Hall. I posted on some forum sites. I didn't have a website or any of that. No business. I was just inviting people for a game day. I said, well, come and play over the weekend. And I figured I'd spend a couple grand each year and I would throw a party to remember my father, my family. And so I'm wearing a GaryCon 1 t-shirt today, which is a white t-shirt with the old lizard, a rip on the old Lizard Man TSR logo. Mm-hmm. And it has the ringer, the 70s ringer collar. So I thought that would be fun. And there's a little quote on the back from my dad. And that's the one thing we did, that was to help. We figured, oh, we'll sell those, maybe we'll raise a little bit of money to help offset some of the costs. But I showed up, there was no scheduled events. I didn't have any badges. Somebody was smart enough to bring like some sticky badges and you write your name and a pen on there. And we set up a table and just said, okay, we just marked who was coming. 168 people came. I was like, wow, that's kind of, I didn't expect that. And Once again, Jolly Blackburn and his crew from Kenzer and Company brought a van up from Waukegan full of product, and they gave it to me to said, hey, ask people for donations to help offset costs. And then the guys who are the old guard of Gary Con, who are friends of my family, and they committed to come to Gary Con every year if I did it. Mm-hmm. It's Tim Kask, Frank Menser, Jim Ward, Tom Wom, and Mike Carr, all guys I've known all my life. They helped, Frank and Tim did auctioneering at the Gen Con auction. Mm-hmm. And so people, did some quick sketches or pulled out a book and signed it, an old book, and they raised money and covered all the costs for throwing this convention. And so I was like, okay, well, I guess, there's actual money coming in and things like, oh my gosh, I've got to start being a bit more businesslike. And the next year, we started a little website and did some pre-registering and things like that. And it was 240 people. Yeah, I had to move it to another hotel. Mm-hmm. And I live in California. This is in Lake Geneva. So okay. It's just me trying to manage this.
Sure.
So I had a couple folks begin helping me. And it went, 240 people, 400 people, 500, 600, 750. And then there was a mention in the Big Bang Theory of Gary Con. And that year, we went to 900 people. It was as many as we could fit in the hotel. So we had to move to the largest venue in Lake Geneva last year, which is the Grand Geneva Resort, mm-hmm. the old Playboy Club, and the site of Gen Con 10 in 1977. So it had great historical roots for Gary Con. And we moved here, and it's just kept growing. Now, this year, I don't have the exact count, but we were over 1,300 in pre-registered badges, and I believe we'll be over 1,500, but again, this is Saturday. There's still people walking in.
Sure.
I think we're going to end about 1,500.
Yeah, so. We are out of bed. We're just about out of badge holders. We're Uh-oh. Just running out of supplies. So many yes. people coming in.
So many people coming in. Last year was like, it was 1,196 total people.
Wow.
So, and this year, we're probably going to be over 1,500 here, mm-hmm. And we'll see how it develops. But that's, the growth has just been organic. I don't do any advertising. I think guys who are friendly will... throw in flyers, and they're mm-hmm. like iron wind medals. We'll throw flyers in for Gary Con, and their orders when they send out miniatures and things as good friends. And nights at the dinner table, they'll throw in an ad because they're like, well, here you go. You take care of me, and we give them a place to sell their stuff and hang out because they're great. And same thing, troll lords, and they'll help us out.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no formal marketing plan or anything like that. It's pretty much word of mouth as we found out because we
wound up here as a result of our conversations that we've had on the show.
Yeah. Sure. I do have a question about the people who come.
Yes.
Are we finding that they are people who have played for a long period of time, or do we have some people who just have interest in Dungeons & Dragons and want a place to kind of learn a little bit about it?
Yeah, I think that it's a mix of both.
Okay.
And, what we saw initially was probably older gamers initially who knew who my father was more so. And then as more guests came, more special guests came, and it kind of, I think the reputation of the show as being really fun and for about, family run and about my dad and kind of his personal relationships with a lot of these folks. As that expanded, more guests came, and we started seeing, Mike Merles from Wizards of the Coast wanted to come in. There's a large organized play presence from both Pathfinder, Paizo Company, mm-hmm. and Wizards of the Coast, and Mike Merles and some of the other creative folks who are there. They come and run hundreds of events here, so that attracts, that by itself will attract newer gamers who mm-hmm. are playing current Dungeons & Dragons. And then by about Gary Con 4, there was it kind of became more formalized. A guy named Paul Stormberg, who's a kind of a gaming historian, he loves the old school gaming, mm-hmm. and he runs a business called the Collector's Trove, where he gets in some of these older treasures and will auction them off to other collectors. He puts together the Legends of Wargaming with Gary Con, and he brings in folks who worked alongside my dad in the International Federation of Wargaming in the '60s before. There was role-playing before D&D was invented.
Sure.
And, Jeff Perrin is here, which is the co-author of Chainmail with My Dad, which became kind of the rules basis for Dungeons & Dragons, or part of the rules basis for the original D&D. So you could come here and play, a game with with Jeff Perrin, you know, like a chainmail or Kevlars and roundheads. Mike Carr, who wrote Don't Give Up the Ship, Naval Battles, Rules with My Dad, will run D-Guts, and you can play with Mike. Mike Reese is here for Tractix. Dave Wesley, who is another developer of kind of that early concept of what became Dungeons & Dragons and role-playing, is here. Dave McGarry, the creator of Dungeon board game, which was actually a contemporary of Dungeons & Dragons. It was not inspired by Dungeons & Dragons. It was a contemporary product that came out, which I never knew until I grew up and started meeting these guys, you know, as an adult. He comes here and shows his prototype board, and, you know, you play Dungeon with. So it's really cool. These Legends of Wargaming series, we get to play games with the guys who created him, who made him, or, you know, folks who were there in the early days. So you can come and play 5th edition game, you know, maybe in a celebrity game or a unique adventure with Mike Merles, which is the most current stuff, most current D&D. You can play a game of OD&D with Tim Cass, the first employee from TSR, editor of some of those rules manuals, or play, you know, precursors to that, miniatures games, scenarios that were played at Gen Cons before D&D was even invented. So it's sure. Just a whole, it runs the gamut from old school to new school.
Wonderful.
I think it's great because that means it's about gaming. It's not about a historical snapshot in time. It's about celebrating my father's life and his love of gaming and all those folks who enjoy it.
The feeling here is like a family reunion. It feels like that celebration of your dad and all of the successes that he had, and all these strangers are walking in and becoming a part of the family in the hallways. It's pretty amazing.
Well, yeah, and that's not a big surprise. The way my dad was in life, if you stopped by, and because people did that on occasion, they'd just be like walking by and kind of looking from the sidewalk, or he'd be like, "Hey, how are you?" What's that? Be like, "Are you Gary Gygax?" He's like, "Yeah, good company." He'd start chatting with him, he'd buy him on the porch and have some iced tea or whatever, and be like, "Oh, if you're local, yeah, we game every Thursday. You know, drop by, I have an extra seat." And that's how some guys would end up in our gaming group.
Wow.
Or if you corresponded with him, he was great about responding by email and things. And if you, you know, many times he would be willing to help someone out, throw, give him some advice, just be friendly, be near. He's kind of one of the guys. So he's welcoming. And we're all gamers here. You know, I think my dad always thought, well, I'm just one of you guys who was fortunate enough to have this idea and make up a game that people like. But we're all gamers here.
Yeah. I actually met his father in an elevator at a very early Dragon Con, and he ended up back in our hotel room, and we sat and had a glass and talked. He was telling the old stories, the making up the monsters in the kitchen, sitting around with a pack of cheap plastic dinosaurs, and coming up with, well, we're going to make this a rust monster. If it touches you, your armor melts.
Wow.
And this has a fin on the back. It's going to be, we're going to call it a belay, a land shark.
So let me introduce, you're Mike Noe, you're the Director of Operations and Director of Vendor Relations here for the convention also. Tell us a little bit about how Dungeons & Dragons impacted your career decision and some of the things that you're doing.
Well, I'm also the primary owner of Ironwind Metals, which is grew out of Ral Partha, which was a very early miniatures company, fantasy miniatures company. And I think I played my first game of Dungeons & Dragons in probably about 1982, maybe 81. So it wasn't at the very beginning, but it was fairly early. A friend invited me over to play this strange game that he had gotten into. And they had these beautiful little miniature figurines, which ended up being made in a company in my hometown. Mm-hmm. And my buddy got a job there. And then a couple of years later, he called me up and asked me if I wanted a 2-week temporary job for minimum wage. And I started on July 19th, 1982, and never left.
Wow.
And now I'm the principal owner of the company.
Still making minimum wage.
if you count the hours I work for what I pay, yeah.
Right.
And I've known Luke for a while. I've known a few other people up here for a while. And I was a guest up here for the last 2 years. And I kept offering to help. So they took me up on it.
Yeah, that's your first mistake.
That was your first mistake. I was like, absolutely. Yeah. Welcome aboard.
Yeah, here in charge now. Fantastic. One of the things that we've talked about a lot in the last year is the Stranger Things on Netflix and how the idea of the
Dungeons and Dragons played into that storyline. Yes. Is that something that your father would have been surprised by? Is that something that your father would have been proud of?
I think he would have gotten a kick out of it. And I don't know that he'd be surprised, because there is a... in Extraterrestrial, E.T., the movie E.T., in the beginning, they're playing Dungeons and Dragons.
I think there was a wink to that.
It's been referenced many times. He's been, I think my dad's been the answer on Jeopardy twice. And, you know, I don't think he'd be surprised. He'd think it was pretty cool because of the way they tied that in there. And it's just by complete coincidence that Demogorgon is featured on our T-shirts on the front pocket and in the module. The gate that was designed for the Gary Con Open. Now, obviously, it was a big influence, because I was like, wow, that's really neat. Let's incorporate that little facet as well, because everybody was geeked out about Stranger Things and Demogorgon being in there and stuff. So
what else do you geek out about? What is your passion? Is this your thing that you love? Is Dungeons and Dragons and all the community that you've built here?
It is a big part of my life, but it's become really work in a sense to do this, because it takes all year round planning. There's probably about 8 of us that have weekly conference calls and have taskers to do in between, and they probably start in earnest about 6 months out, where it's every week, and really pretty much already I have the artwork designed, I have the contracts for next year. I mean, all that has to be in place and get it going. So, yes, I enjoy gaming. I just rarely get to do it these days because I'm married. I have 3 young babies at home,
sure.
9-year-old, 6-year-old, and 3-year-old, all my little girls. And I'm also a major in the full-time in the California National Guard.
Okay.
And I sit on a board of directors as well for an aviation manufacturing company. So I stay very, very busy with all those things. I don't have nearly as much time as I would like to. Gaming. So when I'm at conventions, that's when I get to play games. Otherwise, I'm working.
Gen Con just hit their 50th anniversary.
Yes.
And you are on your 9th, and you're here today to say that Gary Con 10 is going to have a foothold here in Lake Geneva.
Yes.
Are you here for Gary Con 50 in 40 years?
You know, that's a wonderful question. I can't really answer that long-range forecast. But I think for the foreseeable future, I think Lake Geneva is the place where Gary Con should be. It's where there's a lot of folks who worked at TSR here from those days. They have a reunion tonight. There'll be a TSR reunion where like 75 of former employees will gather. In fact, I have these little drink chits because we help sponsor it, and so they can have some free drinks, and it has Demogorgon on there, obviously.
Of course.
The drink chit is a drink chit for them. So obviously, I mean, there's that. It's where TSR was. It's where my father lived. There's the home where I was grew up in. You know, born, grew up in, through Center Street.
We drove past it last night on the way back from the Gen Con 50th party, and there were probably a dozen people in front of the house taking pictures. It is a shrine.
Does somebody live in this home now? Or
yes, it's a summer home for a couple that lives in Chicago, and they were they're very, very kind folks who allow us to, occasionally run a game in there, and they've been very accommodating and friendly.
Oh, how wonderful!
And last night was another great thing. Just Gary Con, we get so many benefits. I mean, Peter Atkinson is the owner of Gen Con. He used to own Wizards of the Coast, and now he sold to Hasbro. He makes movies now for fun, the Cal Diaz web series. But, he comes to Gary Con, and he was just kind enough to ask me, like, hey, would you be interested if, would it be okay if I kicked off the 50th anniversary of Gen Con, the celebration for that here at Gary Con and the Horticulture Hall? I was like, why, yes, thank you, Peter. That would be great. So how many people come and just offer to throw a party, a high-profile party with all this great historical information?
It was like walking through a museum. They had tables set up with the progression of wargaming, all the things we've been discussing leading up to Chainmail and then Dungeons and Dragons, and they had some of those original little plastic dinosaurs out on the table.
Yes.
And
fantastic.
So it was really neat because they had John Peterson is working with Peter Atkinson. John Peterson is a wargaming and role playing historian. He's written a book, Playing at the World, which is a doctorate thesis level study of our industry. Mm-hmm. And so he has done a massive research and is a fountain of knowledge. But you know, he was there with Peter helping, and they had Bill Meinhardt, who has the largest fantasy role-playing collection in the world, I believe, and he had a mint condition wood grain box set there. I think there's 1,000 of them initially made of the original OD&D from 1974, which I, you know, rarely even see, let alone a mint copy like that out there, as well as, you know, mint copies of every something. But that, I think, one, not even mint, but probably very good or near mint copy wood grain box like that sold for $22,000 on eBay.
Wow.
Last year, I believe it was. So it's incredible.
What is so amazing about this game is the people who played it finding out the careers they went to. I wonder how much of Dungeons and Dragons, the concept of using strategy, your imagination, has gone into the cars that we have now, computer science, just the strategic, I mean, whether the War College uses this. It just seems like it's just an amazing spark of inspiration. It was from a person who wanted to create a game.
Yes, it is pretty amazing.
It is amazing.
It provides you a framework. It's essentially a framework, but the game is not delineated, so you're not within certain confines. It just gives you a framework.
It's a framework for your imagination, and you can let the inner actor come out. So if you're playing the hero in your own movie.
You're speaking my language. That's fantastic. Thank you both for joining us. Luke Gygax, the founder of GaryCon, and Michael Noe, the director of GaryCon. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
That was amazing. That was a great trip. Thank you, Chip, for finding the fact that GaryCon exists right there in Lake Geneva, 45 minutes from where we're at.
And we're going to see if we can find some more type of events within driving distance and go get more people like Luke, because this was a great conversation.
Yeah, if you need more information, you can go to GaryCon.com and find more information about GaryCon.
There'll be another convention next year, so if this is something that's of interest to you, think about this time next year. I'm sure it's going to be available.
Yeah, I think we have enough information to survive another week in the dungeon. What do you think, Chip?
Only if we can come back next week.
Yeah, we come back every Tuesday. Our show is on the internet, ready for you any Tuesday that you want. Go to our website, TooMuchScrolling.com. Our email is TooMuchScrolling@gmail.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Dungeon Master Chip Hasenflow.
We'll see you in the future.